I'm coming to you from my house over okay, I got a text message. You can hear me, so that's good. I tested positive last night for COVID-19. It's kind of the symptoms of a really bad cold for me. I was pretty sick yesterday, but I feel a lot better today. So we're hoping all of this live stream stuff works out. A couple people have joined me here on Zoom. So we just want to welcome you on that. We're having some trouble with the audio on for the live stream. So if you're watching on the live stream, maybe you can toggle over. I put a link in the chat for the on the YouTube. So you're welcome to come on that, and I will admit you into the room if you're unable to hear me on the live stream. So we're starting a new series this week. I really didn't want to miss this week, and I didn't want to put this on Reggie to go like, "Hey, I know it's like 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday, but can you do a message that you have not prepared for?" So I didn't want to do that to him. So we came up with this way to do it. And this message is kicking us off for the series that we're going to have over the next several weeks. We are looking into the Creed. We're looking into the Apostles' Creed in particular, where the apostles have given us, like, I'll give you the history on it a little bit, but given us what would be the right word for it? I'm also admitting people into the room at the moment, so I'm a little bit distracted. So as you guys come into the room, make sure you mute yourself, please. That would be very helpful. So what the apostles did is legend has it that the apostles gave us these basic things that give us an idea or an understanding of our faith. And we just sang those things. Carrie and Keenan led through that. We believe in God the Father Almighty. We believe in Jesus the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And then all of these other things that we'll talk about over our time together. This first one that we're talking about is I believe in God the Father, maker or creator of heaven and earth. And so I did a little research on that. It turns out 81% of Americans believe in God. 81% believe in God, which is pretty incredible, really. It sounds like a lot until you go back in time just a little bit and you find out that 87% of people believed in God in 2017. And then go back even further, 92% believed in God in 2011. And I actually have a PowerPoint with graphs. You know, like you see it on a graph, like there's a lot more people in 2011, just 11 years ago, well, 12 years ago now, a lot more people believed in God than they do today. Now, that doesn't say anything about what kind of level or personal relationship with God through Jesus, or if they just merely acknowledge that God exists. But by and large, Americans still believe in God, although that number is dropping fast. But I was interested in this stat too. There's another group of individuals that has 100% belief in God. The Bible tells us about it. It's the demons. James 2:19 is a snarky little line, and it says, "You believe that God is one. Good for you. Even the demons believe that and shudder." So, I am pausing for maybe a little bit of laughter. I have no idea. This is so weird for me. I apologize. There's zero response here. Our time and place that we're blessed to live in right here, right now in America is riddled with misinformation, with competing facts, with rumors, with misconstrued words, with cancellations, and on it goes. And sometimes it's good to just come back and recognize what one believes, to have something of a foundation where we can say, these are the things I believe. This is my core foundation, and everything after this is negotiable, or it's worthy of a cup of coffee and a conversation. But these foundational things are things that I'm not bending on. And for us, As a young congregation, as Engage Newark together, I think it will be the next couple years in front of us are defining moments for us. I think it's good for us to spend some time reflecting on what we believe. Let's get our foundation. Let's set some of the tone for what the things are that we believe. And so when things come up that we do disagree on, especially in this physical world and in the political understanding that we have, where political beliefs tend to be stronger and more divisive than spiritual beliefs, we can all come back to the hardcore foundation and remember we are united on these things that actually matter. These are the most important matters of life. So we believe. This is why we're doing this, because we believe in these and we want these to be our foundation. And then we can agree to disagree on the less important things, and we can still be brothers and sisters together. I believe that creeds or statements of faith may be just as important now as they were in ancient times, where they were writing creeds to stamp out various heresies. Heresies are simply false teachings, and those false teachings come back to us over and over and over again, where one group or another will say something like, Jesus wasn't really God, or Jesus wasn't really human. Well, we need to know for sure that Jesus was both God and man, God and human, full deity, full humanity. The creed allows us to have that statement of faith. It guides us and it unifies us so that we can move forward together. And so on this journey here, we're using the Apostles' Creed. Now, legend has it that after Jesus ascended to heaven, the 11 remaining disciples, remember, there was only 11 at this point because Judas had offed himself because of what he had done to Jesus. So there's 11, not 12. 11 remaining disciples gathered together in the upper room. They wrote down the basic things that they believed regarding God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's legend, okay? That's not historical fact. And the legend is they wanted to capture quickly the basics of their new belief in Jesus so that they had a commonly held belief. So that as they scattered across the globe and went wherever they went, they would be teaching and preaching the same ideas. That's the legend behind the Apostles' Creed. Now, by the 300s AD, this set of teachings was called the Roman Creed. And this is actually where history comes in. History starts in tracking this and picking it up. So this part is not legend. The Roman Creed was used as responses for baptismal questions. So when somebody was coming to be baptized, they would say, do you believe in God? And then the respondent would say, the person getting baptized would say, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And then they would ask, do you believe in Jesus? I believe in Jesus the Son. And they would go on with the words of that. And it's the same questions that we ask people today when they get baptized. The first signs of our modern day Apostles' Creed that we have now appear in France in the 5th century. So this thing that we're using as our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed, has been around for like 1600 years in basically its current form. Although it is not the Bible, it is a succinct statement of what we believe the Bible teaches. And it starts out with the word, I believe. Now, if you were around last Sunday, we worshiped over in the Sage Space. We talked about those two words, I believe. You might remember some of the goofy stuff we did. We had Rodney on a wheelbarrow, you know, and crossing a beam because he said he believed that I could carry him across, but I think he was foolish to believe that. But what we talked about last week was what believe means. Belief is more than just agreeing on facts that are unique to your community. Believing isn't just an intellectual acknowledgement of an idea, like the 81% of Americans who believe in God. Believing isn't just optimism and a hope for good result. Believing is a declaration of the soul whereby it guides and directs and activates one to change their life. All of those things are belief. And also, for the sake of this conversation, it's important to remember who you believe in rather than how much you believe. So the first statement of the Apostles' Creed is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I've said it. I've quoted the Apostles' Creed. I've stood with people and you know, said the Apostles' Creed. I've sung it because we just sung it a minute ago. The problem with doing that over and over and over is that we forget to realize that all the words have some kind of meaning. In fact, when there's a consistent thing that people do to read in church, that's the biggest fear that I have, is that we lose the meaning of it. Like, I don't know if people grew up like praying the Lord's Prayer, and you just kind of say it after a while. You don't really think about what the words mean. You don't actually pray what the words are meant to be praying. And last week we did the covenant service. I love every word of that covenant service, but it's just too long. And eventually you just start reading words on a page. But I didn't know what to cut out because every word of that was so good. But if we want to think about what words mean when we say them, we need to actually think through them and understand what we're saying when we say it. If you think about these opening 12 words of the creed, it makes a huge impact on how you see the world and how you live your life. The first two words were, I believe. Now, I've covered that already, so move on. I believe in God. All right. I believe in God. Well, that's real nice that you believe in God. So does 81% of Americans and 100% of demons also believe in God, because believing in God is easy. In fact, most people throughout the course of human history have believed in God, and most likely believed in many gods, because that's just what their culture did. Gods are a way of explaining the unexplainable. Gods are a way to give credit and provide blame when good things and bad things happen to us that we can't otherwise explain. Gods are something that give us a reason for order rather than chaos that is human life. And believing in God is actually easier than being an atheist, in my opinion. Atheism is kind of a hard road. I heard somebody say one time that most people aren't smart enough to be atheists because there's just too many unexplainable things that we attribute to God. So it's just like, well, it is what it is. I don't know. I can't understand it. It must be God. But an atheist can't have that explanation. So I believe in God, but there's more to our God that we believe in than just saying, I believe in God. The next step is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Now we're talking about something that's a little bit more real, a little more personal. It's relational. He's Father, God, Father. But people bristle at the term Father, understandably so, for two reasons. The first is that the word father is a loaded term for them because of negative experiences they've had with earthly father. And so we totally get that. Lots of people have had bad dads. So we carry our opinion of our earthly father and then we place it on heavenly father. So if earthly father's like this negative way, then heavenly father must be that negative way as well. It's a real thing people do. Whether you had a good dad or a bad dad, your view of heavenly father is shaped by your view of earthly father. So that's one reason why people bristle at the term father. Here's a second reason, and it's this, that God is not inherently male. How are we going to call God father, a clearly male term, when God is both male and female? Sometimes we say God's not male or female, but really God is both male and female. And when I was writing this sermon, I wrote a couple paragraphs about all of this cultural understanding of binary and non-binary terms for humans, but it doesn't get us to the end goal of where we need to go. I think God being non-binary and the cultural implications of that is a worthy conversation for us today, but it's not fundamental to our belief in this creed. So we're going to move on for that. You can discuss that over dinner tonight, if you dare. So, but while we're becoming accustomed to non-binary language in our day and age, in our time and culture, that idea that God would be something other than male was unheard of up until the last couple of decades. In a patriarchal society, males had all the power and all the authority. Fathers were the head of the household, head of the village, head of the town, head of the nation. God, for those living in biblical times, must have been male. And another reason that we refer to God as Father is that Jesus did it. Jesus referred to God as his Father on more than one occasion, but specifically when he taught his disciples to pray, what did God say? God said, our Father who art in heaven. He's our Heavenly Father. So in an ideal sense, take away the gender-loaded issues that are trapped in the word Father, but think of the ideal Father that you wished your earthly Father was, and multiply it by infinity of good, and then you probably almost have something like what Jesus was trying to teach us. The word father is a relational term. And again, if you've had a bad relationship with your dad, it's a hard thing to overcome, but try to think of the ideal situation of father. Father is more of a relational term than a gender term. In fact, when Jesus used the word father, our Father, who art in heaven, in the Lord's Prayer, the Greek word that he used was Abba, Abba Father, Abba, which is the Greek equivalent of daddy or papa. It's a child coming to papa, to daddy, to ask for good things. And papa wants to give us good things. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about Abba giving good gifts, Matthew 7, 9 through 11. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Heavenly Father, Abba, wants to give you good gifts. I believe in God the Father, Papa, Daddy, Abba, who wants the very best for you and for me. He loves us and will do anything to ensure our well-being and success. That's what believing in God the Father means. But then you get to the very next word, which is Almighty. I believe in God the Father, Almighty. And it's like, oh boy, here we go. That sounds terrifying. Father Almighty. Now, I had a great dad growing up. I love my dad. He's an amazing man. One of the worst things that could happen to us is if we pushed mom over the edge and she would send us to our room and say these words, wait until your father gets home. And we'd have to stay in our rooms waiting till our father got home. And I don't know if she just didn't want to punish us herself because she didn't want to do it in anger, or if she wanted us to be out of her hair for the next 3 hours, which is entirely possible too. But those 3 hours were absolutely miserable, just waiting for Father Almighty to come home and deliver the well-deserved punishment that I knew was coming my way. Actually, the truth of the matter is I didn't deserve it. It was entirely my sister's fault. So there is that. But Almighty wraps up in one succinct word, the omnipotence, which is the all power, the omnipresence, which is the all presence, and the omniscience, the all knowing aspects of God. Almighty shows us that God can do whatever God wants to do. God has full power because God is Almighty. And while my example for what the Almighty can do in terms of punishment, there is also an Almighty power to reward. Father Almighty also had the authority and power and pocketbook to take us to ice cream. You see, it's not all bad. The Father Almighty has all the capabilities at Father's disposal. So believing in Father Almighty is believing that God is a relational being with the power to provide for you, whether you need guidance, whether you need saving, whether you need correction or blessing. You don't have to believe that God is male or female. This belief is about an ideal relationship that is available for you. Almighty means that God can provide for you. Father means that God will provide for you. I'm going to say that again because I love it so much. Almighty means that God can. Father means that God will. So this last bit of the phrase, it goes like this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and then this, maker of heaven and earth. Maker of heaven and earth. This maker or creator, like I've seen it both ways, and kind of depends on if you're using a modern translation or something. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. Notice what it doesn't say is, I believe God, the Father Almighty, created heavens and earth on six literal days, and then he rested on the seventh. Do you know why it doesn't say that? It's because the original writers of the Apostles' Creed wouldn't have had any concept of that type of reading of the Genesis passage. And two, it doesn't say that because for this creedal purposes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We only need to acknowledge that God created. We don't necessarily need to agree on how God created. People get tripped up here in the creed and in Genesis because there's a sense in which there's a dissonance between what the scientific geological record indicates and what Genesis says. And if you have a faith that's built solely on scientific evidence of the book of Genesis, and you must have every word of that in order to be true, in order for every bit of your faith to be true, then as soon as a new piece of scientific evidence comes out explaining things in a little bit different way, you either have to revoke your faith or revoke science. But instead of either of those, why not focus on the entire intent of Genesis? You are an image bearer of your creator, and there is loving intent in your design. Your design is for relationship with God and relationship with humanity. The Bible has science in it, but it is not a science book. It's a meditation literature meant to be pondered over and the mysteries to be expounded upon. And while I'm just on it, the Apostles' Creed actually doesn't say anything about the Bible because they didn't even have the Bible at the time, at least not in its current form. At least in the 300s, when the creed was being developed, they didn't have what we have, the Bible. And here's the thing, we don't worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. We worship God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. It doesn't get more simple than that. We try to complicate things by layering all these other things with it. But let's just be honest. We need to believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That God is the God who created you, the God who created you in God's own image. And you bear God's likeness within you. And even though you feel like a turd sometimes, even though you feel like you've made a mess of things at times, and even though other human beings have caused shame to you, have brought harm to you, you are an image bearer of the Father Almighty. And that Father wants a relationship with you. You might not have a good relationship with your earthly father, but your heavenly father, your heavenly dad, Abba, Papa, loves you and wants you to have good things and good gifts. Heavenly Father is almighty and can give you good gifts. And not only can God do it, but because God is Father, Father God will give good gifts. So when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, just know what you're saying. Know that you're saying you believe in an all-powerful, relational being that created you in the likeness and image of God's self. And you bear that image And God wants to give you good things. And because he's Father, God will give you good things. I'm going to pray. I think the band has one more song. I could be wrong if they changed their minds on that, but let's pray. And then I'm going to close the Zoom out and I'll give them an opportunity to switch over to the pro presenter for the lyrics on the song. Let's pray. God, we pray to you as our Almighty Father, as the creator of the universe. God, we come to our a conclusion about you, that you are greater than what we can imagine, but yet relational to us, wanting to be personally involved in our lives. And we thank you that we can come in together and celebrate that, and that can be something that unifies us, that we can believe together that you are God, Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Maybe there's some other nuances there that we don't agree on, but that's okay. We can agree on this. And God, may it be an alive thing for us, something that we can grow into, knowing that you've created us in your image so that we can become more and more like you, and we can help others reclaim their image bearing of you as well. God, be with us. For me, I ask, Lord, that you help me get healthy, and let everybody else stay healthy and get healthy that are sick among us now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.